joining us now on the T-Mobile special guest line. He's the athletic director at Utah State, John Hartwell. John, how are you?
Hey, let's play ball, man. Let's go.
He's pumped up.
How great was that when you were able to break the news to your athletes that they were going to play?
It was unbelievable. I mean, you know, we thought, you know, we had been trending this direction for the last probably week, so it wasn't a total surprise, but just knowing that, you know, we've got it, a plan put together for it, you know, Gary and his staff and our student athletes were really excited. It was funny because last night we obviously had a Mountain West presidents and ADs meeting where the final decision was made. And, you know, Noelle, our president, called me right afterwards and she said, you know, I didn't know how good this was going to feel to get to this point. But then we were talking about just the anticipation on campus all of this week has made everybody a little bit of pep in their step and a little more positive and things like that. So I do think, I mean, obviously, we've got some work to go over the next 4 weeks to get ready. And then, you know, there will be some challenges throughout the season, I'm sure. But just the anticipation and the excitement of trying to get back to something that's somewhat normal, I think, has everybody excited.
This might be a ridiculous detail, but I am interested to know, you know, let's say that your first game is a road game and you've got October 24th kickoff. How difficult is it to get the hotel scheduled? Is that on the other team, John, to get the hotel scheduled? And then the charter flights?
Not to mention charter planes and all of that. And quite frankly, I mean, and that was the first question that came our way last night is, hey, well, when are we going to see a schedule? Quite frankly, the league is working diligently right now on that, but there's still some pieces to be solved there, you know, for a one-year period. And everything is going to be different this year, obviously. But, you know, looking at a couple of concepts, are we going to do 16 divisions between the Mountain and the West Division? Are we all just going to combine everybody into one conference and just take the two highest winning percentages? You know, there's a whole lot of things out there that we're trying to get finalized before we, you know, finalize a schedule.
Do you have a preference in that regard?
You know, there's mixed opinions amongst the ADs in our league. I would love to see it get everybody get put in just 1 through 12 just for this year, just from the perspective of we know there are going to be games canceled. You know, there's question there may be a school or two, although all 12 are saying right now, you know, we want to compete, we want to play. Realistically, there may be one or two schools who can't do that. So if that happens, let's just use this, and this is purely hypothetical, but let's say, okay, every school, all six schools in the Mountain Division can play, but then you get to the West Division, and let's say it's, you know, San Jose and Hawaii, or San Jose and, you know, if for whatever reason, there's two schools that can't play at all or only get in a game or two, then how fair is that? You've got one division where six teams are competing for one spot in a championship game. Got another division where only three or four are competing for one spot. So if you combine everybody, again, just a one-year fix into, you know, just one conference, one division, and you take the two highest winning percentages, that probably plays out a little bit better. But, you know, we're just happy to play, and we'll play the hand that's dealt us and look forward to it.
So now you've got the announcement. What gear do you shift in here, John? Where do you apply your attention?
Well, and we had already started doing this, just trying to get some things together stadium-wise. You know, we're working with local government officials, with our university administration, and you know, trying to make sure we stay in touch with the governor's office, too, in terms of you know, allowing fans in, and obviously BYU had a plan and that hit a hiccup with the, you know, the revert back to orange in Utah County. But we're trying to put together a plan so that we can get the information when we have a you know, a schedule here, hopefully by the early to middle part of next week, that we can also let our fans know that, you know, we're going to be able to allow X number of fans, you know, whether that is a 25% or 30% or whatever it may be, percent of our fans into the games.
John Hartwell, Athletic Director at Utah State, joining us right here on the Zone Sports Network. When you look at the time needed to get ready, and I know you talked to Gary and his staff and everybody else talked to their staffs as well, I'm sure. 3 weeks essentially for training camp and then 1 week for game prep. What was the thought on that timeline being enough to get ready to start the season?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question, Scott, and it's something that we spent a lot of time with, you know, conversations with the football coaches, conversations with some of our safety and health and safety group that has representation from each institution and several team docs on it. And really the conclusion we came to is, you know, today is 29 days out from competition. Today is 29 days out from, you know, October 24th, which is in a typical August. That's the advanced prep time for true practice. Now, you know, depending on what institution, what member institution you're at, some have had the benefit of more days of conditioning and things like that than others have. But at the end of the day, you know, everybody is going to get a chance to get up and running. Now, you know, you've got, you know, quite frankly, Fresno, they really haven't had students on campus. It's going to be a little more of a challenge for them. And we understand up front that there is the possibility and maybe even probability that there, you know, maybe a couple of schools that are not ready to play on October 24th. But we felt like that the vast majority of schools could be ready, that we could schedule games then and, you know, do it well within the parameters of what a normal season would be. Because, you know, we've had guys, literally we've had football players, as several institutions have, on campus since the beginning of June doing a variety, you know, of conditioning and weightlifting and things like that. So, like I said, our guys are extremely excited about being able to play. And, you know, I know our coaching staff and I know Gary's visited with you guys about this before, not only excited about being able to play, but being able to get it done basically in the close to this time frame of a regular season so that spring ball for this next spring of 2021 is not impacted. And hopefully get back to a true regular season for the fall of 21.
John, what I'd like you to do is kind of help your Aggie fans understand the burden of the cost of testing and also the announcement that the Mount West Conference itself will be taking care of either a certain portion or the full amount of testing.
Yeah, happy to do that. So as you mentioned, and Craig Thompson in the earlier press conference today talked about it. So the league, when you say the league is taking care of it, it's primarily going to come out of some of the reserve fund of the league. And the projection is to handle full testing for football for all 12 schools in the league is going to be and they estimated high, which is a good thing from an accounting standpoint or a budgeting standpoint, approximated about $4 million per institution to do testing for football, and that's everybody within the bubble. So let's just break that down a little bit. That comes out to, you know, about a little over $300,000 per school. And what you're looking at is you're looking at three tests a week, three antigen tests per week. We are contracting with a company, Quest, and they will come on site. They're going to come on site to all 12 institutions, set up shop, and do the testing three times a week to with those antigen tests. If you have any positive tests, the antigen test will be backed up by a PCR test, but I think it provides you know, uniform testing across the board. You can't say, well, you know, so-and-so, this institution did different testing. Is it really the same? And when you talk about the bubble that's being tested, it's all of your football student athletes. It's all of your coaching staff, anybody. It's your trainers. It's your equipment managers, your student managers, anybody who is going to have day-to-day regular contact with your football team, and those that will travel with football. So, you know, when you start adding up those numbers, you're looking at, you know, in the neighborhood of 175 or 180 people. And, you know, some things that you think of is, and we've started this planning, is, you know, if you've got multiple equipment managers, you don't want them all to be on that plane, because if you have an equipment manager who comes down with COVID, and then whether through contact tracing or anything else, that shuts down part of your staff. Well, if you had all your equipment managers on there, then all of a sudden you shut down equipment. You don't have anybody to, you know, to load the truck and to fix shoulder pads and stuff like that. So we've got to be strategic, not only with our student athletes, but with all of the support areas as well.
John Hartwell, athletic director at Utah State, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Do you have any say in scheduling at all, or is that all at the conference level?
You know, they've asked for some input, and if you look at, and they have not totally ruled out what we, the eight opponents and locations that we originally had for the 2020 season. So just as kind of a refresher, that would be Colorado State, Wyoming, Boise, and the University of Nevada on the road, and then Air Force, New Mexico, San Diego State, and Fresno State at home. So that, there's a potential that could still happen, but at the end of the day, you know, there may be some changes to that. One of the things that we did talk at length about was to try to front load the schedule, if you will, in the colder weather locations, i.e. Logan, Laramie, Fort Collins, Boise, you know, Colorado Springs, if at all possible, so that, you know, we're not playing a lot of December games in those cold weather areas as opposed to places with a little warmer climate. So they're looking at that. And obviously took the input there, but whether that really happens or not, we'll see when the final schedule comes out.
John, I'm curious to know, you know, as you've worked with the Pac-12 and the couple cancellations that you had for your out-of-conference games, with these games that have been canceled almost countrywide, and the contracts that were broke, how do you manage that where there were certain payouts and maybe even big dollar amounts and what they were going to owe you and those kinds of, how is all that going to play out nationally with college football?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're all negatively impacted by what has happened. And hopefully, you know, with the return to play, for us and the Pac-12 and other leagues as well, it's not as dire as we thought it was going to be, you know, 4 to 6 weeks ago. But I also think that part of that is we all are in the same business together, and we've got to work together to try to work those things out. You know, Washington, obviously, Pac-12 canceled first, then we canceled, and really at that point it became a moot point in terms of the contract. And, you know, we are working with them to try to reschedule that game somewhere out in the future. And as far as the Washington State game, you know, they were supposed to open the season here in Logan and us go back to Pullman next year. And actually, Pat Chon and I have talked a couple of times this week, trying to come to a resolution there, and whether that's, you know, they pay us a guarantee for next year's game, and we put another home and home on the books you know, a handful of years out, or if they're able to go ahead and find a slot that's compatible with our schedule here in the next two or three years to put the return game on the books here. So I think, you know, we're all in this together, and I think there's been everyone has been very collegial to each other in terms of trying to find solutions to these contracts.
So not only the athletic director at Utah State, but former athletic director at Troy. Any thoughts on the BYU-Troy game coming up tomorrow?
Hey, I knew you'd tee this up for Hans and I. So, yeah, you know, it's I think it's going to be a pretty good game. Obviously, BYU opened the season and looked mighty impressive against Navy. And, you know, I think Troy looked pretty good the other night playing at Middle Tennessee to open. They will have some very athletic student athletes on both sides of the ball. So it's a little bit of a contrast in styles, but I look forward to it. I think it's going to be an entertaining game. I'm just sorry that fans won't be able to see it in person, but I will certainly be tuned in to TV tomorrow night to watch it.
What was their commitment level to football and sports in general there at that university?
You know, Troy is an interesting study because they made a rapid ascent from Division II in the late 90s. They went Division II to, at that time, 1AA to 1A very quickly. And, you know, being a Sun Belt member and their first, I may not have this exactly right, but their first 5 years in Division I, they won the Sun Belt championship four out of five years. And you think about NFL guys, DeMarcus Ware, Osi Omonura, Lawrence Tynes. they have had a wealth of talent come through there. And one of the things I tell people, a lot of people don't, you know, understand. They know Troy is in Alabama, but they don't understand the geography of it being in the kind of the southeast corner of the state. But if you draw a 200-mile radius around Troy, Alabama, you encompass Atlanta, Birmingham, Mobile, Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Florida. You stretch close to Orlando. You have the Mississippi Gulf Coast. You have close to New Orleans. So if you think about the amount of high school football talent that comes out of that area, it is, and all of South Georgia too, places like Valdosta and LaGrange, places that have a storied history in high school football, there's a wealth of talent. And you know, they may not get the five stars that are going to Auburn or Alabama or Florida State or Georgia, but there is a wealth of talent there, and they've that to their advantage to have high levels of success in football.
Well, can't wait to see hopefully a high level of success up there in Logan as Utah State kicks off the season October 24th. Not sure where and against who, but I'm sure that information is going to be coming out here very soon. John, we can't thank you enough, man. We appreciate it, and congratulations.
Guys, thanks so much, and we look forward to getting going again and appreciate your support. And like you said, Scotty, we don't know what time or where, but we know that on October 24th, we'll be together watching the Aggies.
Love it.
Let's play some football.
Let's go.
Thanks, John. Have a great weekend.
You got it. John Hartwell right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.